The end of our parsha discusses a very graphic scene. Pinchas taking a weapon, a spear in his hand, and pierces it through two people simultaneously. The problem with this whole story is that today we did not read Parshas Pinchas. Today we read Parshas Balak. What then are we doing reading a story which really should be found next week? Next week, which is called Parshas Pinchas. Furthermore, what does this story of Pinchas, a man who was a tzaddik, who did something correct, why do we include him in a parsha which discusses the way of a rasha, of a wicked man, a prophet Bilam, who wished to curse the Jewish people? Why would we ever want to connect a Bilam, Parshas Balak, to Pinchas? What's the connection? To answer these questions, we have to understand a little bit more about who Bilam was. The Gemara in Sanhedrin interprets the pasuk of Shosum Ayin, of the one with the closed eye, that Bilam Suma B'achas Me'inav, that Bilam was blind in one of his eyes. Hence the pasuk Shosum Ayin, that there was an eye that was closed. The difficulty with this is, who really cares? I understand that he has this handicap, and it's unfortunate. But what does this really matter? After all, it was clear that Bilam still had the skills and the abilities to be able to curse the Jewish people. His mouth was fine. His mind, for all intents and purposes, was not no problem. So why do we need to know that he was blind in an eye? What does that matter in relationship to this entire storyline? Perhaps we should also know Bilam's hair color, or perhaps his shoe size. Of course not, because it's so insignificant, and it does not make any difference to the storyline. Then why do we need to know that Bilam Suma B'achas Me'enav, that he was blind in one eye? When looking into the personality of Bilam, we also find that he was, at least in his own interpretation, a brilliant man. And I'm not talking 2400 on your SAT brilliant. I'm talking about a Yodei Das Elyon, an individual who claimed to know the mind, the knowledge of God himself. What's difficult is that upon learning, studying this week's Parsha, we find that it's very difficult to comprehend that Bilam was an actual Yodei Das Elyon, to the point that the Talmud itself asks the question. The Yodei Das Elyon asks the Gemara in Brachos, Hashta Das Behemto Lo Haviyada. He did not even know the animal, his donkey, in which kept veering and going off the side of the road because only the donkey saw the Malach Hashem, this angel, this vision. Bilam couldn't even see that. Bilam didn't even understand the mindset of a beast, a simple animal. So with that said, Das Elyon Haviyada, how is it possible to say that he knew Das Elyon? And the Talmud tells us, what exactly is this knowledge from above? This godly knowledge that only he was able to tap into. The Talmud tells us that there is a moment in time that God gets angry. And we know this to be true because we recite it every single morning, Ki rega b'apo chayim b'ritzono. That for a rega, for a very small amount of time, every day Hashem is ba'apo. Hashem is upset. He's angry. Says the Gemara, Shaha yodeh l'chavinos osha, Shakadosh Baruch Hu kois bo. That he was able to understand it, to tap into that one moment in time in which God got angry. But how was Bilam, of all people, able to do such a thing? Again, if he did not even understand the mindset of an animal, then how was he even able to understand this one little detail? Or maybe I should say, not such a little detail. That he knew exactly the moment that God got angry. How was Bilam, and only Bilam, capable of being able to do such a thing? And on this, the commentator of the Beis Av explains as follows. The very first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, teaches us that when God created the heavens and the earth, His initial intention was to create everything b'midas hadin. That God would be the ruler, the lawgiver, the judge of the entire world. But then Hashem realized something. Hashem realized that if He would judge a person exactly by the strict letter of the law, we would not be able to function. We could not possibly survive. And therefore, the pasuk later on in Parshas Bereishis says, Elo todos Hashemayim v'aretz, that God again created the heavens and the earth, but it was b'yom asos Hashem Elokim. The Elokim represents midas hadin, exactness and justice. The other name of God, Hashem, represents a different attribute, that of midas harachamim, of kindness, of compassion, an opportunity to change and to do tshuva. And therefore, the second reading, as we find in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, of Elo Todos Hashemayim Aretz, is that God created, it's God creating Hashem Elokim Eretz Ushemayim. That it wasn't just Midas Hadin, it was also Midas Harachem. The attribute of mercy also needed to be part of creation, so that judgment would be tempered with mercy. The Beis Av explains that it's necessary to have this balance, that one without the other is not good. For a person who only has Midas Hadin, that only judges by the letter of the law, then there's no opportunity to change. There's no opportunity for anyone other than perfection. And we are all far from perfect. On the other hand, Midas HaRachman, the Pasuk says, Al Tihit Tzadik Harbe, we cannot be so compassionate in every instance. There's some times in which justice must prevail. There's some situations where if a person committed a crime, we must punish them. For if we do not show some level of din, then there'll be complete chaos. Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim, God is teaching us, is in this world, and they must work together at the same moment. However, since Hashem created the world initially Midas Hadin, He was incapable of completely removing that initial decree. And therefore, it was necessary, kirega ba'apo, at least for a second, a split second, in which the world would be judged specifically on Midas Hadin, without any Midas Harachamim. Only for a rega. And for that rega, when God would look at the world only at Midas Hadin, it's kirega ba'apo. Hashem is angry because we are far from perfect. I understood the symbolism of being able to look through both eyes, through the idea of Midas Hadin together with Midas Harachamim, from an eye appointment that I had 2 months ago. For some of you may know that I had LASIK surgery a few years back, and every year I go to get my eyes checked. And I learned something which I could not understand, and in fact the eye doctor could not explain it to me clearly either. My left eye, he examined first, and I closed my right. And with my left eye, I was 20/40. Not bad. And then he asked me to close my left eye and to open my right. And with my weaker right eye, 20/80. And then he asked me to open up both eyes. And I couldn't believe it. I was 20/30. With my strong eye alone, I was only 20/40. But together with my much weaker eye open, I'm able to see even better. Which teaches me that when it comes to Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim, we constantly are judging. And God is constantly judging. But we must judge with both eyes. The eye of Midas Hadin and the eye of Midas Harachamim. Of not being so quick to judge our fellow man. To show a little bit of compassion when compassion is due. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos tells us that the negative trait of Bilam was that he had an ayin ra, a bad eye. It's a very interesting idea. We hear this expression of someone giving an ayin hara, which is singular, which you would think it should say a nayim, that it should be eyes. But Bilam, as we know, apparently only had one eye. He was blind, or should I say, blinded in one of his eyes. Not necessarily, and not only, that he could not physically see out of both eyes, but he was only able to look at the world, at every person in this world, with one view, and that was through Midas Hadin, showing no kindness, not a drop of compassion, never Midas Harachamim, for that was not part of his vocabulary. And with this we can now understand, the Torah is not just teaching us some unimportant detail, but rather it's defining how he of all people were capable of tapping into the Midas Hadin, that one moment in which God showed anger toward the Jewish people, in which miraculously the Talmud says God did not show throughout the entire lifetime of Bilam, because Bilam understood the feelings and knew how to connect more than anyone else to Midas Hadin. For he was the one person who only had that one eye that could not see anything positive about anyone around him. And therefore, because of his lack of vision, his lack of foresight, that he wore blinders, this is why he was able to zero in on the negativity of the Jewish people. The Gemara tells us something quite remarkable. The Talmud states that the sages actually wanted, at one point, to institute, instead of the Shema, the Parsha of Balak, the section of Bilam running around trying to curse the Jewish people. And one could ask the question, why would we want to institute such a possible tefillah? For just as in the Shema, the Pasuk says, B'shachbacha v'kumecha, lying down and getting up, so too this same notion is alluded to in the words of Bilam with regard to a crouching lion and its arising and its getting up. So why did we not then include this section in lieu of the Shema? Because our Parsha discusses Bilam, who wanted to judge that God should judge the people meet us at din. And for us to institute such a prayer, God, judge me exactly who I am. For what I deserve, give me. That we cannot institute into our tefillos. But rather, Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, which is Midas Harachamim. Elokeinu Midas Adin. Hashem Achad is one. That we're able to, God is able to look at us with two eyes. And to be able to judge us, not just by Midas Adin. Also by Midas Harachamim. Showing us compassion and care. What does this have anything to do with Pinchas? Why is Pinchas in our Parsha with this Russia? There's a very fascinating halacha that when it comes to Negoyim, when it comes to an individual who has the spiritual saras, this leprosy, the Rambam tells us that Bali Mumin Kasherin Lurias Negoyin, that a Kohen, even with a blemish, is allowed to make the assessment of whether or not a person is Tameh, or whether they're Tahar. However, says the Rambam, Mubulvad Shaloye Hesuma, can't be blind. Obviously, if you can't see, how are you going to be able to determine what is Saras, what isn't? But listen to the next words of the Rambam. V'yafilu b'achas me'enav. Even if the Kohen is only blind in one eye. Shene'emar v'chol mar'enei ha'kohen. That the Kohen must have two eyes. And why is this? Why is the Torah requiring us that the Kohen must be able to see with two eyes? What if the person has perfect 20/20 vision in one eye? Why would that Kohen not be able to say, you're Tameh, you're Tahar? He can physically see the Saras. So then why does the Rambam, why is the Halacha that you need to have two eyes, that one eye is not enough? And I believe Ezra's saying, is that the symbolism of having two eyes, why God created us with two eyes and not just one, is because when we look at another person, we must look not only at the din, at the law, but we also need to show some rachamim, to show compassion. And a kohen, a leader who only has the ability to look through one eye, with a limited view of this world, such a person will be biased in their opinion of whether or not this person is impure. For you'll be much easier to say you're a Russia, you're bad, because I can only look at the negative. I'm always done the kavchayv, disfavorably. We need to have two eyes. That is the requirement of the Kohen. It's very fascinating that our Parsha begins not with the word Balak, but rather with the word Vayar. Look! Look at what you're doing. Look around you. And that is exactly what Pinchas did. The very first time he's introduced to us is here. At the end of our Parsha, Parshas Balak. And it doesn't just tell us that he grabbed a spear and he started killing people. Rather, Vayar. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. That he was able to see. What it means he saw is that he looked, he assessed the situation. He balanced the Midas Adin. Should I be doing it? This person should be killed for what he's doing. On the other hand, Midas Harachamim. Maybe this is not what I'm supposed to be doing at this particular time. Nonetheless, afterwards, Pinchas made that actual evaluation. Did he put it into action? So that no one should ever say that Pinchas was hot-headed and he did it because he wasn't thinking straight and he wasn't looking at the whole bigger picture. No. Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas saw everything. He had a complete view of what was the correct action. And so appropriately, as we'll be reading next parsha, that what is the blessing that Pinchas ben Elazar receives? The blessing of Kahuna, that he will become a Kohen forever. That he will always be a Kohen. Because this is the message of a leader. A leader who has vision, who can see everything, and doesn't just look at the obvious and just immediately jump and say this person's wrong. But rather he looks with both eyes. This is a very important message. A message for ourselves to incorporate. That it's very easy for us to be done the kavchov, to look at a person and find their faults. But how much greater it is to be able to celebrate our similarities, and to celebrate those people's skills and strengths and accomplishments. Let us stop looking at people with only one eye. Let us stop being a Bilam. Rather, let us emulate the ways of a true leader, Vayar Pinchas. Let us look at people with Midas Adin. Let us judge everyone favorably. Midas Harachamim. Being done the kav, not lekav chov, being done the kav schus. And may we do so, we will be able to open up our eyes and to be able to grow in all of our lives. Shalom.